Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Dolphins fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Wednesday, September the 5th, and we got a great show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I'll be joined by Miami Dolphins reporter for USA Today, Antoine Staley, as we talk about this week's upcoming game against the Tennessee Titans, get his thoughts on Miami Dolphins' recent roster moves, as well as, you know, his thoughts overall on this upcoming season, not only for the Dolphins, but around the league, and get a Super Bowl prediction from Antoine. Before I get to that, though, there is some news surrounding the Miami Dolphins I have to talk about. And as always, this podcast today is brought to you by The Athletic. Be sure to sign up for The Athletic and save 40% off this week by using our link that's up on our website at DolphinsTalk.com. I also have the link pinned to my Twitter account at Dolphins Talk, so go to either place, click the link, and sign up for The Athletic. It's only $2.99 a month. Right now, it's a great deal, 40% off, almost half cost. And like I said, they have two reporters who are covering the Miami Dolphins this year, Chris Perkins and the Big O, Orlando Elzagari. And it was announced just this week that they have expanded their South Florida sports coverage, having Manny Navarro, who will be covering the Miami Hurricanes for them. He's a great reporter, and you'll get outstanding Hurricanes content. And right now, the Hurricanes, you know, that was a rough loss the other night, and you're going to want to read all this great content on the Canes right now to see where they are heading into their second game this week. And they also announced they hired Shandell Richardson, who will be covering the Miami Heat. NBA season's right around the corner. And Andre Fernandez will be the Miami Marlins reporter. Next week, they will be unveiling their Florida Panthers reporter. So they are going to have South Florida sports covered like nobody else. So sign up for The Athletic. Links are up at DolphinsTalk.com as well as our Twitter account at DolphinsTalk. Miami Dolphins news. They did make a move today with the practice squad. They signed Maurice Smith, who they cut the other day from the 53-man roster, and added him to the practice squad. And then they released running back Jeremy Langford, which makes sense because right now the Miami Dolphins have 5 running backs on their roster. Really no need to carry a 6th running back on the practice squad. And Maurice Smith's a heck of a player. I don't think he'll be on the practice squad long. I think he will be called up to the main roster pretty soon here. Not quite sure what the Miami Dolphins are going to do here. Right now they got 5 running backs and 4 quarterbacks. I think there's going to be a change made, whether it's made later this week prior to the Week 1 game or whether they make it, you know, after Week 1 where, you know, and Week 2. I don't know. But I think something's going to have to shake out here. Probably one of those 2 spots. And I think someone like Maurice Smith, probably the first guy in the practice squad who would get called back up to the main roster, you know, barring any injury, of course. So we'll keep an eye on that. A little fun story I heard today. So former college basketball coach, excuse me, Rick Pitino, he wrote a book. He's shopping a book. He's selling a book. He's doing all these interviews all over the place. He was on a radio station today, and I heard him say, Rick Pitino, he is now a Miami Dolphins season ticket holder. So this Sunday at Hard Rock Stadium, while you're walking around the concourse, you know, buying your beers, getting your hot dogs, you might very well run into Rick Pitino, as he is now a proud season ticket holder of the Miami Dolphins. He now resides in South Florida since he is no longer a coach, and he said he has bought season tickets for the Miami Marlins and the Miami Dolphins, and he was very excited to going to the Dolphins game this Sunday. So, lo and behold, if you're walking around Hard Rock Stadium this Sunday, you might run into Rick Pitino and see a legendary college basketball coach. So, just wanted to mention that. The like I said, another thing. This week's game, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but I want to mention it again. This week's game between the Miami Dolphins and the Titans is actually on Fox. It is not on CBS. Usually when two teams from the AFC play, it's a CBS game. But because of the league with the Thursday night package, you know, on weeks where Fox or CBS, one is loaded up with games from their conference, they do slide a random game over to the other network just to sort of balance it out so each network has an equal amount of games or enough games. So this week's game between Tennessee and Miami is going to be on Fox. The announcers will be Sam Rosen, who is a great announcer, great voice. I love Sam Rosen, one of the longtime NFL announcers who just has that voice that feels like you're watching an NFL game. And he will be paired with Chris Carter, who, for those of you who are old enough to remember, had a short stint with the Miami Dolphins, God, I don't know, maybe about 10 years ago or so, maybe a little bit less than that, I'm not quite sure. But Chris Carter and Sam Rosen will be doing this week's game for Fox. Looking at the map, it's only going to be on, you know, primarily in South Florida and in the Memphis, Nashville, Knoxville area. So it's only going to a limited part of the country. In the Fox 1 p.m. window, it is the fourth game, so it's not going to a big part of the country. But, of course, most of you do have DirecTV in the Sunday ticket and will be watching, I know. But Sam Rosen and Chris Carter will be doing the game. Last bit of news before we get to Antoine is it was reported today from Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald that he's hearing from league sources that Miami Dolphins wide receiver Devontae Parker will most likely not play this week's game against the Titans. Not 100% official, but all signs are pointing that way. And quite frankly, I'm not shocked. Look, here's the thing with Parker. For those of you who are longtime listeners of this podcast, you know, I am not a big fan. He's a bust in my eyes, just not very good. But, you know, this injury is one where a wide receiver, you know, if you have a broken finger and if you're a wide receiver, you know, you just can't play. You got to be able to catch the ball and you can't have extreme pain when you are trying to make plays. So I get it. This is not an injury where Parker can sort of tough it up and play through. I get it. With that said, though, you know, it is just another thing with Parker. You can just add this to the pile of a guy who, well, it is a little bit of bad luck here. It's just, you know, the guy, you can't depend on him ever. You just can't depend on him ever. And, you know, it's tough with Parker. This is a big year for him. Essentially, it's a contract year. In that if he doesn't play well, he won't be back next year because Miami will rescind the fifth-year option, let him walk. And you look at Parker overall, his stats, you know, they're just not very good. He hasn't been a productive player, and you just can't depend on him. I always say, when you're trying to draw up the prototypical NFL wide receiver, you are describing Devontae Parker. You know, 6'3", 216 pounds, runs as fast as one can run, long arms, huge wingspan, big hands, can catch anything, but he's just never on the field. And this injury's different. It's not one that he can sort of tough out. I get that. So I'm not ripping him for not being able to play this week. This is an injury you can't tough out. And who knows how long he'll be out. It sounds like there was some optimism he might be able to play this week, but with a broken finger, I mean, he's probably going to miss at least 2 or 3 weeks, if not more. I would think the first realistic shot you'll see him back is against Oakland, although it might even be later than that, honestly. Who knows? I'm thinking week 3 is the first shot, the first chance you'll see him back. But if this went, you know, to week 4, week 5, I would not be stunned. And here's the one thing I'm going to say on Parker. And at this point, I'm not even upset with him anymore. It sort of is what it is. He is who he is. He's not going to change. He's never going to be a number one wide receiver in this league. He's never going to be a guy you can build your offense around. When we drafted him, everyone thought, you know, he's either A.J. Green, Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson. He ain't. Not even close. Not even in the same area code. He's not one of those guys, and he never will be. You know, he is a number two receiver, you know, in this league. And you hope at some point you get a little more out of him. But here's what I'm going to say. if the Miami Dolphins offense week one and two with no Parker, because I think he's going to miss at least the first two games, and we'll take it from there. With no Parker, if the Miami Dolphins offense is playing well and they're moving the ball and they're putting up points and they're scoring touchdowns and not having to settle for field goals, if it's playing well, when Parker is able to return, there's no rule and there's no law that A, he has to start, and B, he has to be on the field for X amount of snaps. If the Miami Dolphins offense is rolling, whenever Parker comes back, I would not upset the apple cart in one bit. And they don't even have to make him, active for games, really, until they feel that they have to. So I would not rush anything with Parker. To me, he's an ordinary player. He's just a guy. He's just a guy. I know we drafted him, you know, pretty high in round one, and we drafted him to be more than just a guy, but he's just a guy, and that's the reality of it. And I think many Miami Dolphins fans at this point, even the ones who for the past year or so were diehard Devontae Parker supporters, I think they've even sort of come around and like, eh, it is who it is. He's hurt. Who cares? Play or not play, who cares? He never plays. And I'm sure there's still a few diehard supporters left. And God bless you. If you're still in the camp who thinks Devontae Parker is going to turn this around and be a big-time receiver in this league, God bless you. But I think you're just sort of whistling through the graveyard at this point because I don't see it ever happening. And there was an article today by Joe Shad in the Palm Beach Post. And I usually like Joe's work. He does very good work. But he wrote a line that, you know, it's like, what are you talking about, Joe? And let me read you the line. He did an article on Parker, and here's a line from Joe Shad in the Palm Beach Post. It would be a mistake to dismiss Parker's size, speed, and talents completely. Would it, Joe? Would it really be a mistake to dismiss it? Because let's look at the numbers, because the stats don't lie. Well, sometimes stats lie, but not in this case, they don't lie. In 2015, he had 494 yards and 3 touchdowns. Ordinary. In 2016, 744 yards and 4 touchdowns. Ordinary. In 2017, 670 yards, 1 touchdown. Bad. And that 1 touchdown was in total garbage time against the Jets week 3 when, for some reason, Adam Gase called timeout with his team down 20 points and 5 seconds left to throw a ball into the end zone, which Parker happened to catch. So to say Parker caught no meaningful touchdowns last year is a fact. So once again, I like Joe Shad, but he goes, you can't completely dismiss Parker's size, speed, and talents. Joe, you know, this ain't the Olympics. This ain't the combine. I don't care how tall he is. I don't care how fast he runs. I don't care about his size. He doesn't perform on the field. Period. End of story. He might look the part. He might talk the part. But when it comes to actually performing the part of an NFL wide receiver, he never has once in his 3 years in Miami with the Dolphins. So to say it would be a mistake. No, it would be a mistake to keep holding out hope thinking Devontae Parker is something that he will never be. He just won't. And like I said, this injury, I can't rip him for this injury because it's one of those injuries, you know, it's a freak injury. It's a broken finger, and for a wide receiver, you need your finger. If he was a defensive end or a linebacker, you could just sort of tape some fingers together, get out there and play through it. When you're a wide receiver, you can't. And I get that. So I'm not ripping him for this injury. It's not one he can sort of tough out. I understand. But, you know, some of his previous injuries, he could have toughed those out, and he never did. And that's why he has lost the benefit of the doubt, at least with me, and I think these days with many, if not the vast majority of the fans of the Miami Dolphins. So when I read this here from Joe Shad in the Palm Beach Post saying it would be a mistake to dismiss it. No, it would be a mistake to keep thinking Parker's going to be something he never will. Devontae Parker doesn't have it. He doesn't have the heart, and he's never on the field. Whether it's bad luck or him not taking care of his body, which we know from the article in the Miami Herald a few weeks back, he has never taken care of his body, staying up to 3, 4, 5 a.m. playing video games, eating, you know, fast food for breakfast, chicken nuggets for dinner. He doesn't care. And at some point, you have to just face reality. He doesn't care. And I think you just have to sort of move on at some point. I know why Miami put the fifth-year option on him. It's smart. In case, by some act of God, And, you know, a minor miracle, he does have a breakout year this year. And is that guy? You want to be able to hold him for the fifth year. But I think in reality, that's just a insurance policy because we all know who Devontae Parker is. And this is probably his final year in Miami. And it sounds like he's probably going to play, you know, if he comes back from the finger injury, at most, you know, 13 games, 12 games. He won't give you a full slate again this year. And who knows, he'll probably come down with another injury later in the year. He's just that type of guy. So we'll see. But from all signs, it looks like Devontae Parker will not play this Sunday against the Titans. And who knows when he will be on the field. But like I said, if this offense, if it gets off to a fast start here the first week or two or more without Parker, I would not rush him back on the field at all. Don't upset the apple cart. And like I said, there's no law and no rules that you even have to activate him for games when he is healthy. Just if things are going good, things are going good. And don't force him out there thinking things will get better. I would just keep him out of the mix until you need him. But that's a lot of ifs because who knows if the Miami Dolphins offense will be good the first couple weeks of the year. So we're going to take a quick break. And when I come back, we will be joined by Antoine Staley from USA Today to talk about this week's Miami Dolphins game against the Tennessee Titans.
Simbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Simbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. So when in the South Florida area, visit Simbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Antoine Staley from USA Today, Miami Dolphins reporter. Antoine, how are you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. So we have a game this Sunday, finally, a real game at least. Before we get to that, though, let's talk about the Miami Dolphins roster. The past few days, they've sort of shaken up their roster a bit with guys at the bottom end of the roster. Nobody would probably make an impact, really, when the games are played. Are you surprised right now that the Miami Dolphins have five running backs and four quarterbacks on the roster?
Yeah. I think that's what I was saying. Yeah, I would have thought they would have kept some key with some certain players. Maurice Smith being one of them, I thought he was a really key contributor. Now he is on practice squad, which I actually expect him to be back on the main roster at some point. And they were actually hoping that nobody had picked him up, which I think they were very fortunate that nobody did. But, yeah, I'm very surprised that they have, I mean, five running backs and four quarters. So that's just really unheard of.
Yeah, let's start with the quarterbacks. I would think, and I don't know when it's going to happen, maybe it's in the next few days or maybe it's in a week or two, one of these quarterbacks will be gone. I would think it would either have to be Fales or Luke Falk, the one they just picked up here from the Titans. Would you agree with that? Like, if one has to go, it would probably be one of those two?
Yeah, I think probably Falk is going to be the one to go. They need a practice squad quarterback. It makes sense to just have a guy you can develop on your practice squad. So, yeah, I think he'd be the logical one to go. I for whatever reason, it seems like Adam Gase is content with keeping three quarterbacks on his roster again this year. So it seems like to me that's what's going to be the case for at least a better part of this year.
Yeah. I mean, it makes some sense, I guess, but I mean, I don't know. It is a little bit interesting. At running back, they did sign Brandon Bolden yesterday, but he's really not even a running back anymore. As I talked about on this podcast yesterday, he really hasn't played much running back since 2015. He's just more of a special teams guy. If they do move on from a running back, would it probably, I would guess it would have to be either Sonoris Perry or Brandon Bolden. Which one would be the odd man out, you think?
Well, I think they signed Bolden for a reason. So I would think they would move on for Sonoris Perry, who also has practice squad eligibility. Yep. So I would imagine he would be the guy, he'd be the odd man out in that scenario. I mean, Bolden is a veteran. They would have to flat out release him. I don't see why they would sign him just to release him that quickly. So, and yeah, you get to say, I mean, yeah, Perry's a
did that with Travis Swanson. Well, they did it with Travis Swanson.
Yeah, they did. That was kind of quick, though.
That was real quick.
I imagine Bolden's going to be on the team going forward. I probably see Perry being the odd man out in this scenario.
Okay. And were there any other really surprise cuts? I know you mentioned Maurice Smith. The only surprise to me, I would think, is they cut Isaiah Ford, and then they brought him back on the practice squad. But then they signed a wide receiver from the outside, which I felt was a little odd with Ford and even Leonte now on their practice squad. Were there any surprises that you saw?
That's probably the biggest one. I really can't think of anybody else that I thought that was cut to definitively say they should have made the team other than the ones we talked about. Talk about Maurice Smith. I thought he was almost a lot to make the roster. And then, yeah, he did make the initial 53, but ended up releasing him shortly thereafter. Isaiah Ford, I thought he probably was going to get released or get cut because He flashed a little bit in the first preseason game against Tampa Bay, but you really didn't see much from him the rest of the preseason. So I thought they just kind of wanted to release him and hope nobody picked him up off the practice. Nobody picked him off waivers, and so they could just keep developing him.
Yeah, absolutely. And for this week's game, I know it was reported today that Devontae Parker probably won't play. He's still got the broken finger. Have you heard about a time frame on when he might return? Is this going to be something that's going to go probably week to week at this point and just see how he is each week? And when he gets to a point where he can play through it, he probably will. Or is this going to be something that might go on a little bit longer?
Well, he still can't catch a football. And now as he's ruled out this week, I imagine he's not going to play against the Jets either. If he's not already catching the football at this point, he's still giving them pain. So for me, I'm not saying this is what Adam Gase said, but I'm just going to flat out rule him out for the Jets game. And we'll see how he does week three against the Raiders. I really have a hard time believing it is something that could be linger on going forward. It could be a month before he comes back. Broken fingers and definitely a tricky thing.
So, especially for a wide receiver.
I wouldn't be surprised if he missed the first month of the season.
Yeah, I would not be shocked in the least as well. This week's game against the Titans, I've said, you know, numerous times on the show that this is a horrible matchup for Miami. Everything that the Titans do well is probably a weakness of Miami, whether it's run the football, tight end is a big factor in their offense. What do you think the key is for Miami on offense to have success this week against the Titans on defense?
Well, a lot of the things the Dolphins have had problems with defensively, the Titans, like you said, the Titans do well. They have a mobile quarterback in Marcus Mariota. Remember last year, Mariota was not in the matchup. He was injured. Matt Castle ended up playing, and they were able to record 6 sacks against Castle. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case this year with mobile as Mariota is. So, he's mobile. They like to run the football. The Dolphins' run defense was very suspect through the preseason. And also, you hit on the tight end with Delaney Walker, who did practice today. We actually asked Mike Vrabel that during the conference call. He did practice today on Wednesday. So, and they also able to rush the passer as well.
Yep.
And we'll see how good this Dolphins offensive line is early, because they're going to face a stiff test out there. I don't know if Harold Landry is going to be out there. I don't know if he's going to play, but if he does play, that's just another person for the Dolphins to have to worry about.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at Miami's schedule, I'd rather open up pretty much against any other team than this one, just because I think matchup-wise, it's not good for the Dolphins in many areas. For Ryan Tannehill, obviously this is a big game. It's his first game back, and I mean real game. I'm not counting the preseason. First real game back in Hard Rock Stadium. What kind of reception do you think he'll get from the fans? I know, look, he is like the – fan base has split on him so much. Do you think he'll get a big reception, or do you think some of the fans are still going to just pick up where they left off and not really give him a warm reception when he comes out there Sunday?
I think he'll get a relatively warm reception. Like, really, he'll have a lot of fans clapping for him just because of what he's went through
yeah.
the last 21 months. whether you think he's the quarterback of the future or not for the Dolphins, I mean, I don't think that necessarily should matter. This man battled back the last 21 months, kind of injury that might have cost him his career possibly, and then he had a setback obviously last August, and now he's here after everything he endured. So I think if I'm a Dolphin fan, I think he at least deserves some kind of hand clap and applause there just because of everything that he went through.
Yeah, absolutely. And then probably the first mistake that'll turn, and probably, you know, half the fan base will turn on him real quick after the first, you know, bad pass or like the first interception. That'll be quick. For the Miami Dolphins, they're going to be playing a lot of young guys in this game. I think they're going to start three rookies, actually four if you probably count the kicker. What are your thoughts on Gesicki, him getting the start? Because I think he is going to start, right?
That's debatable. I don't know. I know you may see Marquise. It depends on how much they decide what they want to do with Gray. You might see Gray and Gesicki in there in two tight end set. I guess it depends on the package. I will say this: you will see a lot of Gesicki.
He's gonna be on the field the most, I think.
He'll be on the field.
He'll be on the field the most. So in my book, he's a starter. and I think the same thing with Fitzpatrick as well. He might not technically be the starter, but he's going to be on the field so much. He is the de facto starter.
With him, it's going to be different because I feel like he's going to start in the slot cornerback position.
Yes.
And you're going to have Bobby McKay. Yeah. Yep. So it'll be a little different for him. I feel like he may get more reps actually than Gesicki. Gesicki, I feel like depending on what the situation is, they'll put him in the game. I think their plan is to use all three types: use AJ Derby, Marquise Gray, and Gesicki.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think these young guys are going to have a lot on their plate and be asked to contribute right away. And I think for the most part, I think they'll be okay. The one guy who gives me some pause for concern, I guess, would be Jerome Baker, just because that's a tough spot to have to step in and play and learn right away. Outside linebacker can be a little tricky, and they're probably going to need him this week to help in the flat there with Lewis as he comes out of the backfield as a threat. I think that's also one area and one guy who Miami might have fits with is trying to cover Lewis in the passing game.
Yeah, I think that's a cause for concern. I think the linebacking core in general, it's a cause for concern because you're really starting – you're essentially starting two rookies. I know Raekwon McMillan is a second-year guy, but he's never played in a regular season NFL game either. So you're playing two guys that's never played when the real bullets will start flying. And you have Kiko Alonso out there who we saw how much he struggled with bats and tight ends a year ago. And I don't see anything that's going to say he's gotten any better in that area. So I think that's a huge cause for concern. And yeah, not only that, not only in the passing game, but also in the running game, I feel like they're going to need those linebackers as well when you're trying to take down a big load in Derrick Henry as well.
Yep, absolutely. So what's your pick here for this game? I think this is a tough game for the Dolphins. I don't see them winning this game. I think I've been talking about it on the show. I think they'll be okay in 2018. I don't think they're going to be as bad as many people think. I just think week one, this is a tough matchup for them. And I think the Titans, look, They won a road game last year in the playoffs. They're a solid team, very good, you know, solid right across the board. I don't see Miami winning this game. What are your thoughts, and do you have a pick?
Yeah, I did my game-by-game predictions last week, and, yeah, I don't think the Dolphins are going to be as bad as what some people think. Some people think they're going to be the worst team in the league. I don't think they're going to be that bad. But, yeah, I think that it's going to be very difficult for them simply because – yeah, they can't stop. They have problems stopping the run. The tight end position with Delaney Walker. I think Mariota's going to get them fits at times. And you also get – I think the Titans also have a decent offensive line. You get Jack Conklin. Feel like he's going to be back there. And that offensive line for the Titans is very formidable. And, yeah, I really have a hard time picking the Dolphins in this one. So I'm going to go with the Titans as well. I think the best chance for the Dolphins to get the first win to be in New York against the Jets a week later.
Absolutely, because you have the Jets and you hit on a short week with a rookie quarterback with his first home start on a short week. I think that game is sort of tailor-made for Miami to have some success there in week two. And I think the week three game against the Raiders, I think that got a little bit easier since they lost Mac.
Yeah.
And he won't be involved. And that's a team from the West Coast who will be flying east in that 1 o'clock start time, which usually does help the East Coast team. So I think those games are more tailor-made for Miami. This game is just a tough matchup. Last question for you here before we let you go. The NFL season starts tomorrow with Atlanta and Philadelphia. What's your Super Bowl pick here? I want a Super Bowl prediction and who's going to win it all in 2018.
I hadn't even thought about that.
You haven't thought about it?
I guess I should. No, I really haven't. I really haven't. Nobody's really asked me to do a Super Bowl pick.
I'll tell you mine.
Okay, go ahead.
I had Minnesota from the NFC just because I think, you know, sort of like the Titans in some ways, just strong, solid all across the board. No real one weak area. I think Philadelphia with Wentz, not sure when he's going to return, up in the air. The Rams, I love the Rams, but their quarterback, I still want to see a little bit more from them. And I think in the South, those teams are going to beat the holy heck out of each other all year and might just really wear themselves down. So I like the Vikings from the NFC. I like Pittsburgh in the AFC as long as Bell shows up. That's the one caveat. If he's there eventually, I like Pittsburgh just because New England, you know, what I saw last year at the end of the year, they started to slide a little. Obviously, they lost to Miami. The game against Jacksonville there in the playoffs, they were lucky to win the AFC title game. They really were lucky. And then in the Super Bowl, of course, they played well, but they couldn't stop anybody. And I'm not sure that they're that much better on that side of the ball. And then in the draft, you know, they were so bad last year on defense. They used their two picks in round one, one on a running back, who's a nice player, but I don't think they needed another running back. And then the other one was on the offensive lineman, who's now out for the year. I'm still worried about them on defense, so I went Minnesota, Pittsburgh with Minnesota winning it all.
Yeah, I was going to take – I probably would go Pittsburgh too, but yeah, the Bills situation is starting to concern me a little bit. I mean, talent-wise, Pittsburgh has as much talent as anybody in football. But, yeah, I think that's a very alarming situation, especially considering the Steelers have already had – they've had some incidents in the past with things off the field. You think about Antonio Brown and some of the other stuff that's happened. I'll just pick the Patriots just because by default, even though I agree with everything that you said.
Yeah. Hey, it's a safe bet. Yeah.
It's kind of hard to go against them. I'm going to go Green Bay. I think when Aaron Rodgers is coming back and you're getting Jimmy Graham there, I think a lot of people are just kind of sleeping on the Packers just because of what the Vikings did last year. But you get Aaron Rodgers back, I think you have a chance to win that division. And
absolutely.
Even though I think it's going to be a very tough division, especially now you get Khalil Mack in that division as well on defense. And I think the Bears are going to be improved as well. So, yeah, I'm going to go – I'll go with Green Bay and New England.
Yeah, because I see a lot of people picking teams from AFC South. My question with all those teams is, who's the quarterback that you trust? I like Mariota. I like him, but I don't know if he's a guy who can sort of carry a team by himself. Watson was good when he played, but he really – that's a small sample size there. We don't really know who he is. And then in Jacksonville, they lost Lee. I don't know who they got now, a wide receiver. I mean, you really can't name some of those guys. And their quarterback, you still
Robinson
can't trust.
Left from Chicago. Yeah, Robinson left for Chicago.
Robinson's gone.
Yeah.
So you can't trust their quarterback either. So then you go out west. Rivers and the Chargers got the worst luck in the world. So, I mean, they have horrible luck. And then with the Chiefs, they have a new young quarterback. It's like Roethlisberger, Tom Brady. I still think one of those two are going to find their way to the Super Bowl just because those are the two guys that you can trust in the AFC.
Yeah, I think the AFC is wide open. I really do. That's why I think the team, even though I don't think the Dolphins are going to make the playoffs, I think they certainly could because there's so many questions surrounding the AFC. Outside of Pittsburgh and New England, I think every other team has a big-time question mark to answer. Tennessee, they made the playoffs last year, but they have a new head coach in Mike Vrabel. Jacksonville, can they do it again? You look at Kansas City, obviously you talked about Patrick Mahomes starting. The Chargers, I really like the Chargers. I really do, but can they get out of their own way? Can they had such a poor start last year. They finished strong, but you win that game. You win
that
game
stay healthy.
Dolphins,
they always
win that game against. You win that game against the Dolphins, you're probably in the playoffs.
Yep.
So, yeah, they have. It's such a lot of questions. It's such a crapshoot in the AFC.
It is.
So, yeah, if you're a fan of any team in the AFC, I think maybe outside the Browns necessarily, even though I think they are improved, I think you have a shot to at least get to the playoffs.
Yes, absolutely. And if you look at Miami, the one thing I keep saying is if you look at their schedule, you got Sam Darnold twice, which we don't know what he'll be. I think he will be I think he's going to be very, very good, but maybe not this year. You got Nate Peterman, Josh Allen twice. Right there's four. You have Indianapolis, who, you know, Luck's good, but that team is soft. I mean, that team is soft on both sides of the ball. Their schedule, if they take care of the teams, it's tough to say with a team like the Dolphins that they're, you know, potentials better than anybody. It's a lot of ifs. But if they take, if they can beat up on some of these young quarterbacks at least, you know, you give yourself a little bit of a shot at least to be at, you know, 7, 8, 9 wins. That's the thing, though. You got to beat up on guys like Nate Peterman, and you got to beat up on rookie quarterbacks.
They need to get off to a 3-0 start if they're going to make the playoffs.
Probably.
But that back schedule is
brutal.
It, like,
at Green Bay, at Minnesota, Jacksonville, New England, that's tough.
And even, like, I know Buffalo is starting with Peterman and Allen, but you have to go to Buffalo, and then you don't want a situation where you have to win that game just to get into the playoffs. And there's no telling what the weather might be. So you need to take care of business early, and then focus. Don't even have to worry about that. Get to the point where it's 2016, where you're coming in that last game of the season. You don't need to win that game. It's not gonna hamper you from making the playoffs. So they need to get off to a really good start.
Absolutely, they gotta get off to a fast start. So thanks so much, Antoine. Everyone, be sure to follow Antoine Staley on Twitter at Antoine Staley and read his work up at DolphinsWire.USAToday.com. Antoine, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again.
All right, Dan. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, you have a good one.
The Landon and Jeff Show is a brand new Miami Dolphins podcast here on DolphinsTalk.com. Jeff is a 3-time Emmy Award-winning TV producer, and Landon is his 12-year-old son. Both are diehard Miami Dolphins fans who have their unique perspective on the team and the happenings taking place with the Miami Dolphins. Be sure to check out the Landon and Jeff Show exclusively right here at DolphinsTalk.com.
Once again, I would like to thank Antoine Staley from USA Today for joining us on the podcast. We will have him on each week here throughout the Miami Dolphins season. Always great to talk to Antoine. One other thing I forgot to mention top of the show. Here at DolphinsTalk.com, we got many podcasts. We got the Perfect Phil podcast, Fins Up, Fans Down, the Landon and Jeff Show, as well as DolphinsTalk.com here daily. And the Landon and Jeff Show and this podcast have a little bet this year. Each week of the regular season, I am going to pick 3 games against the spread. And Landon and Jeff are on their podcast are going to pick 3 games against the spread. And at the end of the year, who's ever got the most right will win. And what we have decided to bet is this. Since Jeff went to Syracuse University, and since I am a Syracuse guy, born and raised, we are going to bet a Syracuse orange hat. If I lose, though, I have to buy 2 because there's 2 people there, Landon and Jeff. If they lose, they only got to buy 1. But I agree to the terms of that, and it's A-okay with me. So it's going to start this week with the Week 1 games. You will have to tune in to the Landon and Jeff Show this week, which should be up on our website Wednesday night to hear who they pick. And my 3 picks this week are the Baltimore Ravens -7 against the Buffalo Bills, the Minnesota Vikings -6 against San Francisco, and I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals +3 against Indianapolis. So my picks are Baltimore -7, Minnesota -6, and Cincinnati +3. Those are my Week 1 picks. You will have to tune in to the Landon and Jeff Show to hear their picks for Week 1. But my picks for Week 1 are Baltimore, Minnesota, Cincinnati. And on the Landon and Jeff Show, they will keep the tally and the records each week to see who's got the most right. And at the end of the year, we'll see which podcast has the most right picks. So those 3 are for mine. We're going to have shows every day this week. Later this week, we'll start to get more in-depth with the Titans and start talking about some matchups and stuff. So be on the lookout for that. As always, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk, at Dolphins Talk. Sign up for The Athletic, folks. 40% off. It's a great deal. Great website. No ads. No autoplay videos. Tons of new reporters. Jay Glazer, Ross Tucker, Michael Lombardi, all reporting about the NFL. And if you're a fan of the other teams in South Florida, all new reporters who will be covering those teams that you're going to want their insight on. Be sure to like and follow our Facebook page. I have the link everywhere up on our website right now. Also, check out the Facebook page, I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan, run by the great Carlos Hernandez. He works with us on some stuff, and he's a great guy. So check that out. I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan on Facebook, as well as our Facebook page, DolphinsTalk.com. Like and follow both of them, as you will get tons of great content, and it's another way to interact with other fans of the Miami Dolphins. Wherever you listen to this podcast, be sure to subscribe to it, whether it's on SoundCloud, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, TuneIn, we're everywhere. Be sure to subscribe to it, because once a new show drops, it goes right to your smart device and you are notified. You want to leave us a rating and a comment. That is appreciated as well. So I think that's all I have for today. Everyone, have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.